On this Sunday last year, 2014, if not used to that, Lee took this took a passage from Ephesians 3, which included Paul's prayer to the Ephesian church, and helped us see that all things are designed for unity in Christ. He pointed out that this will be done through the church. Our mission in gathering a divisive people from all places, into unity in Christ will be done through Christ's body, the church. And as daunting as that is, God has given us all that we need to do this, the body of believers, the church, the Spirit of God, and the Word. Last year, Lee reminded us we've been given a new identity in Christ. We bear the name of God. And so the prayer of Paul for the Ephesians was that they might be strengthened in this understanding. And Lee asked each of us that was here present on that day to write down some sort of prayer request. Do you remember that? And then we collected it and then we distributed it. I wonder how that was for you. God always answers our prayers, and sometimes He doesn't in ways we don't expect. God answers our prayers in ways more than we could hope for. The problem sometimes is that we don't recognise this in our life. We don't recognise what God is doing. This week I'd like to get our minds thinking about how we're going to live in relationship with God, our Creator, in 2015. Last week I did say I said a foolish person would go a bit around trying to measure their love for God. But if you want to be blown away, focus your attention and try to measure God's love for us. Now, I hate for anyone to misinterpret that thought. Overwhelmingly, the measure of God's love for us is far greater than anything that we can muster. We are to respond to God's love. That is our call. And the essence of being counted as the people of God has always been, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, the Old Covenant or the New Covenant, has always been in love for God. I've been thinking this week of the Shema, the Jewish prayer that is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Jewish tradition has that it's said twice a day, every morning and every night. The first words the Jewish baby is to hear is the prayer, the Shema. Tradition also demands for Jewish people that, if possible, it's the last thing you'll say, it'll be the last thing on your lips when you go to meet the Maker. And here it is, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. The Shema called Israel to hear that Yahweh, now remember when you see in the Bible a Lord written in capitals, L-O-R-D, that represents the name, the personal name of God. The older translations would have said Jehovah, but we best understand it today as Yahweh. It is Yahweh who is to be Israel's God. Yahweh is one. Now that could either be the number one or expresses the unity. He is the unity. And Israel was, what were Israel to do with this information that Yahweh, their God, who is unity, who is one, what were they to do? They were to love Him completely, heart, soul and strength. Yahweh wants the love of his people. This is the prayer that the Jews were to rise to every morning. When they rest their head every night, they were to go to bed with this thought. It was to be the very first thing that anyone was to hear. And it was the very last thing that someone was to say. Yahweh is unity, and you are to love him. It's all about relationships. Even before the commandments, it's about a relationship of love. And this is not a one-off verse. Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. Verse 12, if you pay attention to those laws and are careful to follow them, then the Lord your God will keep his covenant of love as he swore to your forefathers. Chapter 10:12, and now, O Israel, what does the Lord God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commandments and decrees I'm giving you today for your own good. Chapter 11, verse 1. Love the Lord your God and keep his requirements, his decrees, his laws and his commandments always. Verse 13. So if you faithfully obey the commandments I'm giving you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul. Joshua 22, verse 5. But be careful to keep the commandments and the law that Moses the servant the Lord gave you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to obey his commandments, to hold fast to him, to serve him with all your heart and your soul. Chapter 23:11. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. Love the Lord your God. Love was to be expressed through obedience. A powerful thought that I heard during the week was that understanding comes from obedience. As we obey, we grow in our understanding, which is far more than just knowledge. We do this with our children. We want them to obey us, whether they understand or not. And eventually, our hope is that they will grow to understand why they are to eat their vegetables, or why they are to share their toys. If they obey, they will grow in their understanding. When I was an apprentice, the tradesman told me how to do my job. Even if I thought I knew better than him, it didn't matter. I was expected to do it his way, which was the right way, and which later on I discovered was the right way. Obedience and understanding is closely linked. Live in obedience to God. Bend your will to God's will, and you'll grow in understanding. But first we have to love the Lord your God. This was affirmed in the Gospels by Jesus himself as the summation of all the laws. Matthew chapter 22, starting verse 34. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, next to the Lord, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Jesus actually compares that with this. Love your neighbour as yourself. All of the law and prophets hang on these commandments. What does it mean to love? It's putting yourself before another. Putting your needs before another's needs. So in our relationship with God, it's putting God's thinking before my thinking. It is God's attitudes before my attitudes. It is his thoughts, his ways before mine. But James tells us we can't love God without loving our brother or sister. So it's this vertical relationship we have with God, but also this horizontal relationship we have with each other. The idea or concept of love is a difficult struggle for us. It's such a simple word. It's on every second birthday card, isn't it? Christmas card. A simple word which we have struggled interpreting. I'd like to suggest a way forward in seeking to love others. Perhaps a way that we as a community can explore it, that we can look into the depths of what love is. Our obedience to this will help us grow in understanding. Wouldn't it be great if 2015 was the year we explored to greater depths what love is as a community of the people of God? My suggestion can apply to your spouse, to your children, to your family, to your church, to your neighbours and strangers, to your bosses, your workmates, to political leaders, even to your enemies. Now, Jesus tells us to love our enemies, but we struggle because how do we do that? How do I feel love for my enemies? But I want to suggest that the beginning of love is the struggle within to consider the needs of others before our own needs. The beginning of love, the very start of love, is a struggle that we have within. And when we feel that struggle, that's the beginning of love, when I'm struggling to consider the needs of others greater than myself. You can even do that with your enemy. You don't have to feel love, but you can struggle with the desire to put their needs first. There is much blessing in loving God above all else. Our love, expressed in this way, will lead to appreciation, to joy, to devotion, faithfulness, to obedience and commitment. The blessing of love is found when we seek to do this for one another as well. As we love, we will grow in our appreciation of each other. We'll actually grow in joy for one another. Because we'll grow in devotion, in faithfulness and commitment. These are the outcomes that we'd love to see, but they're not the most important. The important thing is to love, to put the needs of another before myself. Think about how in 2015, how you can do that. If you enjoy coming here, it's because there are groups of people who are committed to come here every Sunday for your good. Think about how maybe in 2015 you could be a part of that core group. Last week we remembered that there is no greater way that God has shown us to love than through the sacrifice of Jesus. Through the sacrifice of Jesus, he has taken away our sin. God first loved us, and that is why we can love. Let's just pause for a moment as we think about the body of Jesus broken for us, the blood of Jesus shed for us.